Hi, this is Amy Halloran with Leah Penniman from Soulfire Farm. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure, Leah. I'm really glad you're taking the time to tell us about what is going on with farmers and Soulfire Farm at this time.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, like so many of us, we are shaken by this pandemic. We're concerned about our elders and community members, and as well as the economy itself, and we're doing our best to respond thoughtfully. We all need to eat, and I have to say that it is kind of due time, right, that the government and society names farming and farmers an essential service. There's a little bit of pride in that, and I think it's up to all of us to do what we can to make sure that our farms stay afloat. You know, a lot of farmers markets are closed, restaurants are closed, so these distribution chains are interrupted. And it's been really cool to see local organizing and these pods form to try to figure out how to get food to the people who need it most. And there's lots of ways to do that, right? Like people are signing up for CSAs and buying farmers' food online, doing these no contact pickups on the farm or at distribution sites. Some people, and I love this, are even purchasing food from farmers and then arranging for that to be donated to soup kitchens, shelters, homeless shelters, and other institutions that are needing to supply that food. And so I think, you know, the number one thing that we can be doing is thinking about how do we make sure that these farmers that we need stay in business? And if we have the means, you know, to purchase that food and then get it to people who need it in our community who might not be able to access that food.
Right. So we can take a really more active role in strengthening the circuitry that's been broken down in the local and regional food chain.
We can. And, you know, I think in many ways we've been preparing for this moment, you know, as small farmers, as social justice activists, as people who've been engaged in mutual aid. You know, suddenly as we see the cracks in the industrial food system, we see the cracks in the way that corporations are operating, you know, we're ready to fill the gap. And because we've been practicing that all along, right? We've been having our CSAs, we've been having our potlucks and neighbors helping neighbors, and that infrastructure just needs to be ramped up. So that's pretty cool. One specific thing that Soulfire is doing that folks can get involved with is our program called Soulfire in the City that was conceived of by one of our team members, Amani Olugbala, back in 2017. And what Soulfire in the City does is it's kind of like a deliverer garden service. Like a farmer comes, builds a raised bed garden or two or three in your yard or at your church or at your school, and then provides ongoing coaching to help you learn how to grow your own food. As you can probably imagine, interest in this program has skyrocketed. We were only planning to do, you know, 7 or 8 gardens this year, and we've already had over 40 people sign up and ask for us to deliver a garden to them. So this program, you know, needs resources, you know, because we have to buy the lumber and the compost and the seeds. You know, my coworker Kiani Conley Wilson was just out here on the farm, of course, 6 feet apart from everything, but growing more seedlings for these gardeners. And so that's a pretty powerful and tangible way to get involved too, is to pitch in either, you know, money, lumber, compost to the Soulfire in the City program so that more people are able to grow their own food and not be completely reliant on the grocery stores, which we know sometimes have empty shelves or, you know, inconvenient hours, or you can't get out because you're quarantined. If you have a garden right there, you can go pick your tomatoes and chard and whatever else you decide to grow and have it fresh.
That's an amazing response. How did you solicit folks? How did people learn about this program and come to you?
You know, well, it was word of mouth for the past couple of years. And then we just put out a newsletter a few days ago. Every month we write our love notes, and we mentioned it to folks that we have this program. Again, it's not a new program. And instantaneously, people started reaching out to us and saying, how do I get a garden? So we will make sure that every person in need, you know, who meets our criteria, which are pretty loose in the Capital District, who needs a garden gets a garden. Well, we'd love support.
That's great. And I want to give a little pitch for those love notes. They arrive in my email box, and it's just a wonderful piece of education and candle that comes in, because I get a window on all the work that the farm is doing, and I learn. And so it's education and inspiration every week. So everyone should head over to soulfirefarm.org. Is that the right?
That's right.
Way to sign up for that. And also, I'm sure there are buttons there to donate to that cause in specific. Now, back to the Soulfire Farm in existence itself, the actual farm. How is this time of sequestration affecting your day-to-day work as a farm? And then we'll talk about the educational efforts.
Absolutely. So it's had a really big impact. You know, several of our team members are actually in quarantine because they may have been exposed to the virus. And so we're all working remotely. All of our volunteer days for the spring are canceled. So, you know, we rely on 50 to 100 volunteers showing up on a Saturday in the spring to do some of the tasks that you just can't do alone. You know, you can't, as you know, spread a 100-foot by 100-foot tarp by yourself. It turns into a sail and blows away. So we've had to adjust. Nishima and Emmett, who are my teenage children, are home from school, as are all the children in New York. And so they've been conscripted as farmers. They are partially willing around that. And, you know, we're just trying to make do and be patient with ourselves. It is in some ways a challenging year for this to happen because we're transitioning the farm to have more orchards as well as more animals. So in the coming years, you'll be seeing Soulfire offering more fruits and fruit preserves, you know, hot sauce, herbal medicine, things like lamb and duck and turkey. And so there's a lot of new systems to put in place. And, you know, we'll certainly get it done, but I was out there in the snowstorm yesterday trying to get just a few more beds mulched to make sure that we have everything ready by the time the blueberry plants arrive and so forth. So we'll make it happen. We're very, very committed to sharing the harvest with community as we always have. And where there's a will, there's a way.
Right, right. Now, as far as educational and outreach programming, I noticed that there's been a biopic Skillshare during this time going on remotely. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like so many folks, we've been in this rapid response triage mode. You know, as soon as this was declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization, people in our community from all across the nation started reaching out to us, because Soulfire Farm is not just a local farm. We are a nationally known training center that focuses on the needs of Black, Indigenous, and people of color farmers. So we have thousands of folks who come to our training programs. We go around the country teaching. We publish articles and books. Right, so people were reaching out saying, what do we do? So within a couple of days, we had organized these Skillshares where we bring in expert speakers. We always have a medical professional, we have a food systems expert, and we have someone who focuses on healing and wellness. So for example, an Indigenous elder like Stephanie Morningstar. And we have over 250 people who've signed up for these Skillshares. They happen twice a week. One is on West Coast time, one's on East Coast time. Beautiful lineup of speakers. So that's one example of response. Another example of a response is that, you know, we don't know how long it will be until we can have people in person for our farming and gardening classes. So we started a Facebook Live show that's Fridays at 4 p.m. called Ask a Sista Farmer, Sisters, S-I-S-T-A, where people can call in with their gardening questions and we offer tips for growing your own food. We are prepared for the possibility that we may have to turn more of our educational programs into online offerings. We're going to take it a month at a time. Of course, we'd be devastated if we had to cancel our in-person, especially our immersions, which are these week-long residential courses, you know, that really couldn't be done virtually. But we know that we're in historical times, we're in challenging times. And so we're just trying to be as nimble as we can and make sure that we're supporting our community in the ways that we have access to.
Right. And you do, I think it's really important to, I just want to help people understand who maybe haven't encountered Soulfire yet. Can you just name a little bit of the internal network of people who are working there? So on farm, you've got your family, but you're really a spider web. And so just name some folks for
I love us. That you're asking this question, because so often media doesn't. So living on the farm are my family, plus Justin Butts, who's our livestock manager, taking care of the sheep, chickens, and ducks. My sister Naima Peniman is our program director, who coordinates the education programming and will be moving on farm as soon as she's out of quarantine. Larissa Jacobson is a co-director and partnerships director who does our farm worker campaigns, policy work, video series, and so much more. Cheryl Wilby does the administrative coordination and holds us all together. And Kiani Conley Wilson works on programs with Naima. Did I name everybody? I hope so. I'm sorry if I forgot to name anyone. And then, of course, we have many, many guest facilitators and contractors and volunteers and alumni, and that whole spider web that you mentioned is, you know, has dozens and dozens of folks in it.
Right. You're revising so many ideas in action. And I just love any chance we can say so that we can rethink what a farm is, rethink who is a farmer, because we do have to do a lot of rethinking of this. And now we have the moment. Now is the time. So what are other things that people can do? How would you like the uninformed radio listener, or the now informed radio listener, to think about stepping into food change, food systems change?
Beautiful. I mean, again, I think that, you know, starting think globally, act locally is such a cliche, but this really is a moment for that. I know I, for one, and it's shameful to say this, there are certain neighbors that I hadn't taken the time to get to know. And with this going on, I've reached out to every single neighbor that I can get a hold of to make sure they're okay and that they have enough food and, you know, transportation and all of that. And so I do think that that's not overly simplistic. Like, please, please take care of each other. All the way up to, you know, thinking societally, there's a lot of legislation being pushed through very quickly right now, these relief packages and stimulus packages, and they do not have full protections for farm workers at all. You know, farm workers still don't have paid leave for when they're sick. You know, they're still forced to work in close conditions where they can be exposed. They don't have the right to collective bargaining or safe housing. We need to make sure that they're protected. Also, you know, a lot of folks who are in the food system are small business owners and may not be employees, or they're gig workers. So they're working on contract and they're not protected. They don't get unemployment benefits and sort of slip through the cracks. So we need to be contacting our, you know, elected representatives and letting them know that we notice that and that we care about food system workers, who are overwhelmingly people of color, overwhelmingly low income people, and who are also, as we're now realizing, essential to our survival. So we need to treat food and farm workers as if they are essential to our survival with that full dignity and full protection under the law.
And we really need to use our voices. There's a lot of, you know, we're all scrambling, trying to figure out what we can do here. But I see a lot of, buying. We can't buy our way out of this. Yes, right. We can individually help what we can, but we're all able to make a phone call to mm-hmm. our representatives and urge them to behave as if the people in our food system matter. Do you have links on Soulfire Farms page for people to take action, or can you recommend anywhere?
You know, I'm going to get those up, but in the meantime, the policy organization that we work with most directly is called the National Young Farmers Coalition. And they've got these really handy links where you click on it and it like automatically sends to your representatives based on your zip code. So that's where we would redirect you to. It's the National Young Farmers Coalition. So all of their action alerts we support.
That's great. Well, thank you, Leah Penniman, for sharing your voice and encouraging others to use their voices and whatever we have to make change in these tough times.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to ask what farmers and food system workers need, because these are crucial times for us. Appreciate it.
This has been Amy Halloran with another Food Diary for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.